This is Shudders Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 320 of Shudders Inc. This is Bruce Williams from ShuddersIncPodcast.com, and joining me on the line via Skype from Melbourne, if you would just shut up, from creativephotoworkshops.com.au, Mr. Glyn Lavender, how are you?
Wish you a Merry Christmas. And what? Oh, I'm sorry, I was all festiving myself.
Is that what
I'm back to the bedroom with my podcasting, and I'm festiving myself in here. And we wish you a Merry Christmas. I'm good, thanks, mate.
Excellent.
I'm delighted the year is nigh over.
Yep.
And, something about the end of the year, everything starts to go a bit crazy.
Yeah, every year you would think humanity was expecting the end of the world rather than the end of the year.
Yeah, people just go a bit nuts, though.
Yeah, yeah. Like, the shops are closed for all of 36 hours.
No, they're not that long.
Everyone has to shop as if it's the apocalypse.
The Acropolis? What
about it? So what have you been up to this week? That much?
Yeah, probably not quite as much as that, but still. I did a one-on-one workshop up in Ballarat on Sunday.
Was that with the old truck under the trees?
Can I tell you a funny story, Bruce?
Please.
Good, I'll tell you after we get off air.
Okay.
So these people who hired me for the day are driving down from country Victoria, about 2.5 hours away from Ballarat, where we're going to meet.
Right.
I said we'd meet halfway. They drive 2.5 hours, I drive 50 minutes.
Yep.
It seemed a fair swap. So I'm driving up there, and I always like to leave early to try and scout out some locations.
Right.
And I always drive the back roads. I'm driving down this back road, and I see this kind of cool-looking thing in a field.
Yeah.
I didn't really know what it was. And I've seen it in the past. I've driven past there before and seen it. So I've driven past it, and I looked up the driveway, and there's kind of cool shed. I thought, that's pretty cool. I wonder if there's anyone around. So I've turned around and stopped, and got out the car. And as I got out the car, this car starts coming down the driveway. So I smile, and the guy waves his window down, and I say, look, I'm meeting some people in Ballarat. I want to take some photos. Is there any chance we can come shoot on your farm? And he goes, well, it's not my farm, it's my uncle's. But he won't mind, absolutely. What, you're bringing, a model? Yeah, absolutely, come on down. Here's my number. Just give me a call and I'll introduce you to the uncle when you come down, and he's pretty old and all that sort of stuff. Awesome. So I've driven the extra 15 minutes up into Ballarat.
Yeah.
Picked up these people,
yep.
Driven them back to this farm, and we were pulled up, and the woman who hired me gets out the car, and she goes, you wouldn't believe it, the house across the street belongs to my auntie.
Wow.
In the middle of nowhere, on some side, literally directly across the road, and her auntie her auntie didn't know we were coming, obviously. We're out there shooting for a while, all the ladies needed to go to the toilet.
Yeah.
So they bumped across the road.
To the auntie's house.
And she could all be watching out the front window. Wonder what was going on. That's an amazing, amazing coincidence.
It's a small world.
Very small world. Anyway, no, that's about all I've done this week. I've got two more workshops since Christmas. I've got one more one-on-one before the end of the year, and then it's over.
Nice.
It's done and dusted. And you are obviously busy, busy, busy.
Yeah, yep, busy at work, and had to take the bike in for another warranty repair today. Well, this is related to the same thing that happened a month ago with the switch block that had to, that I ended up having to pay for, even though the bike's under warranty. Yeah. Well, now the replacement warranty switch block had come in, so I had to take the bike back in today so that they could,
Take out the one you paid for.
Undo the one that I'd paid them to fix, yes, and then put in the, official warranty repair job, so can't tell the difference. So.
And they gave you the money back for the one
No, they did not.
No.
But you know what? I wrote a 3-page letter to Triumph Motorcycles in Hinckley in England, and I mailed it today.
How many words is that, Bruce? 8?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know you're on the big font. You're yelling. You're telling them exactly what you think.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see whether I get a response out of them. So
and that's the only exciting thing for the week?
Pretty much. Got the new tripod head.
Oh, yeah.
Got a new ball head. Because I don't know if I told you, my ball head seized up.
You may have told me, but I might have zoned out.
You probably did, yeah. So anyway. But no, that's about it.
Nothing else exciting happened during the week?
Okay.
Nothing at all?
Nothing. What else happened through the week?
How did our little raise Bruce a bottle of wine for Christmas deal go?
Oh, that. Yes.
How'd it go?
That was very successful.
No way.
It was.
Serious?
And I have to, I'm not going to name names and I'm not going to name amounts. I'm just going to say thank you so very much to the half dozen people who made a donation through the week. It's very much appreciated.
You lovely people. So half a dozen plus me, that's $7. So you got a bottle
that
of wine.
That is the seven of you, yes. And, oh, and I can say that the cheapskate of the whole lot was Glyn Lavender.
Woohoo! But it was, you know what? I put the thought in.
That's
the
right.
Thought is worth an awful lot.
Absolutely. So,
oh, good stuff. Isn't that lovely? So what I want you to do now, Bruce, is take that money.
Yeah.
And buy yourself a nice bottle of red or whatever it is you drink.
Yeah.
And at some time over the festive season.
Yeah.
Crack it open.
Yeah.
Pour yourself a quiet one. Somewhere we've got a little moment to reflect.
Yep.
And think of me. No. And just reflect on the year with Shutters Inc. and the lovely people we have who listen to us whenever they've got nothing else to do.
That's right.
And just take a little moment.
Okay.
You put a lot of hard work over a lot of years, and it is appreciated.
Thank you, mate.
So there you go.
Do you know it's been 10 years I've been doing this podcast?
Really?
That is crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, you can get a court case, a jail sentence. Now, I can't hold any longer, Bruce.
Okay.
We said last week we're going to have a guest.
We did.
And, well, we have a tradition here.
And he's sitting quietly in the background.
We have a tradition here at Shutters Inc.
We do.
We do. We have a tradition of talking to Davids.
Right.
We had the lovely David Honnell.
Yep.
We had the lovely...
David Duchemin.
That's him. Yeah. And tonight we have my personal favourite person we've ever had on the show in all the time I've been doing it.
Yeah.
My absolute awesomest mate, David Oakley.
Excellent. Hey, David.
Are you there, Dave?
Hi, guys.
How are you?
Dave's coming to us from Mars.
Right.
Yes.
So, Dave, for those who don't know, Dave and me, we go back many a year. But he's mostly he looks after my website for me as well. He does awesome stuff. He's a good IT guy, among all the other things we're going to talk about, what he actually does.
And way, way back in the day, he did my brucewilliamsphotography.com website as well.
He did. He does the CPW. But as like...
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, so
all
do
great
I.
IT guys, though, like all great computer people, he's got computer problems tonight. So he's coming to us from his iPad, hence the crappy sound. I said to Bruce, gardeners have the worst...
Hello? Glyn, you've dropped out. Earth to Glyn. Are you still there, David? I've lost them both. Well, that's just perfect. That is exactly what you would expect, isn't it? Just what you would expect, exactly as he's complaining about everyone else's computer, Glyn's computer decides to drop the Skype call. So I shall sit here and mumble for a couple of minutes because no doubt they'll ring me back. Other things that I did want to mention. David Jones in the US sent us a story today from fstoppers.com about the FAA, which is the American equivalent of Australia's Civil Aviation Authority, is basically now enforcing that anyone who buys a drone, and we shouldn't call them drones, we should call them UAVs, unmanned aerial vehicles. Anyone who buys a UAV in the US now has to register it. So it'll no longer be just the wild west of UAVs, which it's sort of been for the last couple of years as, you know, excitement in that sector of, you know, photography and whatever has taken off. So now whenever you buy a UAV in the US, it must be registered. And in order to encourage people to register, they are going to make registration absolutely free until February the 19th of 2016. Presumably after that point, there'll be a small registration fee. Oh, that's Glyn. Here he is. He's back.
So I mentioned computers.
Yeah. Yes, you.
I had to say the word, didn't I? I was just calling Dave Oakley back in. Hang on a sec.
Okay, well, you can shut up while I'm talking because I'm still talking to the listeners.
Hello, everybody.
Have been while you've been off swanning on your bed. So after February the 19th, there will be a fee associated with registration of UAVs. But up until that point, it is free. So for the American listeners who own a UAV, definitely check out the link, which will be in the show notes, so you can get registration for free. And David, have we got you back?
David, David's back now.
Is he? I can't hear him.
There he is.
I'm here.
Oh, there he is.
Am I?
Woohoo.
That was my fault. I mentioned computers, and my computer decided to lose internet.
Yeah.
And since I'm the one hosting the call,
yeah.
Goodbye. So, yeah, that was my fault, Dave. No, so Dave Oakley, we're not talking about computers anymore because mine's going to get upset that I'm talking about
something. Saying it.
Yeah, exactly. So we brought the lovely David Oakley on for a couple of reasons.
Right.
A, because I love him.
Yeah.
That's a good enough reason. B, he does some absolutely remarkable stuff with his art of photography and printing that really needs to be talked about because some of the stuff he's doing is quite state-of-the-art.
Yeah.
It's quite outside the square. And any other really crappy sort of euphemisms I can come up with. So we want to talk about that, if that's okay with you, Dave.
I'd love to.
Good. That's a good start. And this is going so well. but first, I'd like to talk
you
to you.
Me.
If it's okay, Dave, if it's okay with you, talk to you a little bit about what got you to where you are.
Sure, I can do that.
So, I mean, you know, about the incident.
Now, before we go down this track,
yes,
I'd like, because I know a little bit of that story, but I'm sure there's a whole lot I don't know. David, what I'd like to hear is before the incident, what was your life like?
Maybe we shouldn't ask that question at the moment.
As in, what were you doing career-wise? You know, what were you doing for a job?
Okay.
All that sort of stuff.
I was a freelance multimedia designer, which back in 2000, it was whatever you can do, which was video, graphic design, printing, whatever you can go for. I was doing a lot of web e-commerce, stuff like that, especially in the 2001 and stuff like that.
Right.
People didn't even know what e-commerce was.
Yep.
And he was a party boy. You were a bit of a party
boy. Yeah, I really was. Totally. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, well, that's.
it wasn't the mild-mannered man I've come to know and love.
Right.
I was sweet as.
Yeah.
So were you much into photography at the time, David?
Boring product shooting.
Right.
My last job was in 2002 was a fetish shop. I was freelancing.
Sorry, a what shop?
You get paid there.
A fetish shop.
Yeah.
Right. A leather
bondage.
Right.
And okay. Yeah, leather and latex and, you know.
Right. As you do.
But as I said, I got paid really, really well. Within 3 months, you'd make, you know, from their company, went from $25,000. On there for a year on their e-commerce,
yeah.
We put it in about 3 months and gone to 250,000. So,
wow,
because of what it was,
yeah,
yeah, it was huge.
And it was early days of e-commerce on the internet, too, I guess, wasn't it? Yeah,
exactly. That's why, you know, the sex works, you know, nothing else would, you know, people didn't even know what that was back then. But
do you mean you could use the internet for something other than sex?
Exactly.
Hey.
So that's why, you know, that's where I got paid. That's why, you know, as a full-time freelancer, I had a year contract.
Yeah.
So I didn't get to that contract, though.
Right. Didn't get to finish it, yeah.
No,
right.
I only got...
And so what came in the way of all of that?
It was in 2002, in August 21st, it was just one of those days. Me and the manager were the only ones there,
yeah,
having a coffee. And it was the armed holdup.
Oh,
and
right.
You never really think that, you know, give them the money, do whatever. But it wasn't really much about that. This guy just wanted to hurt some people.
Oh,
and
really?
We ended up there for about an hour or so. though. I always say an hour, 2 hours. It was probably one of the, well, it is probably the hardest time that I've ever gone through. Right. And he ended up, used a hammer and a knife on my skull for about 4 times.
Ow.
And in the end, I lost about 16% of the brain gone and went to the coma after that. So luckily I never actually felt it. I think it was I passed out in that last second that I didn't actually feel it.
So how long were you in a coma for?
Didn't end up waking up. I had a 4-day coma, but then
induced coma.
Yeah, right. Because it was gonna my brain was gonna go nuts, and they had all clean rubbish into the brain. They had to clean it up.
And
sort of stuff.
So the manager was also attacked as well. And then once both guys were basically out of it, he set the building on fire. And it was only
badly.
Yeah, it was only fortunate that the manager managed to come to and pull David out. That sort of saved both of their lives. So
wow,
yes,
remarkable, horrible incident.
So did the manager suffer the same sort of permanent damage that you suffered, David?
Yeah, we both have an acquired brain injury from it.
Yeah,
luckily, Jeff has that. Not as quite as serious as mine, but
it's still there nonetheless.
It's still serious.
Yeah,
exactly right. Once you're going through that,
wow, that's just horrific.
Yeah, so her brother.
That's a good thing.
That's awesome.
Oh, yeah,
I'm not
absolutely.
Supposed to be here.
The doctors didn't.
When I was at Alfred Hospital, Paul Durso, the surgeon, the neurosurgeon, after about 2 days, because I think it was about 18 hours that they had to go through to clean my, that's why it was just, that surgery was for so long.
Wow.
Incredible man who did that. But then he told my parents and my girl, Marika, that we don't expect that he'll be alive. When they got to that 4-day, they said, look, don't expect much. He's just probably be a vegetable.
Yeah, so, right. Wow.
I'm not quite like that.
Yeah.
No, thankfully.
As you didn't notice.
Yeah.
You have your moment.
Well,
we all do.
Yeah, that's
good.
the recovery process was exceptionally long too, though.
It was years of rehab. Yeah. Years. Of
I can imagine.
Rehab. You know, I couldn't at the start. I couldn't walk. I couldn't talk. I couldn't even breathe by myself. I had a machine.
Well, think back to when I first met you, David, and that would have been at least 5 or 6 years ago now, which would make it probably
2008
or 2009. And your speech was much worse then than it is now. I can hear how far you've come just in the time I've known you.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It's a daily thing that I keep going that, you know.
Yeah, right.
So, thank you.
So I talked to David so much I haven't noticed any change, but that's, yeah.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, it's like watching your kids grow up.
Yeah, exactly. It would be exactly like that.
Yeah. Me and Dave have always been the same sort of thing. So we had the same relationship. So yeah. I
talk crap all the time.
And I talk over him all the time. It's perfect. But it's great. It's great to hear Bruce's perspective of not having talked to you for a while to hear that change. That's lovely to hear.
Yeah.
So it was about 5 years, I think, after the attack when we first met, wasn't it, Dave?
I think so, yes.
Yeah, so 2007, 2008, so early. Yeah, so okay. Yeah, five or 6 years. And
I'm really bad with it.
Yeah, so Dave's not great with numbers anymore.
That's not going to change.
Here's this amazing thing about the human brain. David does struggle a bit with numbers. It's a little hard for him to read. He has to go a little bit slow. And doing a text, it's a little bit slow. But he can computer code like a demon.
Yeah, right.
You know? The human brain is an amazing mystery of how it works, you know?
Yeah.
And so that's quite remarkable in itself. See, I can't do any of those things well. So, it's quite amazing. I think one of Dave's first ever days out by yourself was coming to the workshop. Was that right, Dave?
Yeah, I remember that I wanted to get back at my photography work. Like, that's something that I always – that was in my – before this started, I had my, you know, five-year plan that one day I'll have my own photography and just do that. This all life changed, and I found that I still want to do that. I just don't know how to do it. And we tried – I had my speech pathologist and my community service was a community coordinator. We went to the TAFE and they looked at me and said no, because we have not enough normal people. We don't want to have, you know, disability people.
So how horrendous is that, Bruce?
Yeah.
Calling out for help and looking for something to give you a step to give you that direction, and you know, major government organisations saying no, we don't want you. Too much hard work.
Yeah.
Diabolically bad. And
that that was a hard one.
Yeah, you applied to a few places from memory, didn't you?
Yeah, everything else that I could. I found your website, something really.
Yeah, I don't know how you found it. It must have been Facebook or something.
It was like a day. No, it was on the website.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because at least I knew how to do that sort of stuff.
Yeah, surf the net.
That's how I got my own.
Was that Creative Photo Workshops, David, or was it 5 Minute Photographer?
No, it was Glenn's one, but it was on a Webby or something like that.
Yeah, a Wix or something.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
We didn't even have a, when I first started the business, didn't have a real website because I didn't know how to do one.
Yeah.
So I did one of these online jobbies.
Yep.
And so Dave met us and he emailed and said, look, you know, I'd like to come to a workshop, but I have an acquired brain injury. Is that going to be a problem? And I'm going, oh, I need money so badly, dude. I didn't say it to him. Oh, I'd take anybody. I'd even take Bruce Williams along. You know, I'd take anybody at that point. So it was to us, it was a no-brainer, because any customer is better than no customer.
Yeah.
And the email said, look, I'm happy. I can function perfectly fine. I just may stay at the back a bit. And as far as we're concerned, it was no problem at all to have David along. And I think it was almost love at first sight, Dave.
I think so.
We got along. We got along very, very well. Then he started to come to quite a few workshops. He started to suddenly become a bit of a bother. And then I ran a logo competition. It was so early in my company history, we didn't even have a logo.
Yeah, right.
So I put a call out and for people to design. And if you design the logo, you come up with a free workshop.
Yep.
And David put in the best logo by far.
Yeah.
Of the three submissions we got,
the only one.
Oh, we got three. Yeah, I might have put one or two in myself. No. I got one from America. I remember that clearly. One guy from America. I don't think he was expecting us to fly him in for there. But he came. So he came with it, and he came along, and basically has been hanging around ever since.
Yeah, right.
And he said, "Oh, well, let me build a website for you," and been milking off him ever since then.
So, David, other than your photography, what other artistic pursuits are you into?
Well, let's talk about where the photography journey went first. Talk about your other art you used to do, Dave, the type of art you used to do, and then we'll see how we can bring those two things together.
It was more like when you work and you want to come home and just have a leisure thing, and I used to paint with traditional paint.
Right. Oil or watercolour?
Not watercolour, acrylic or mainly oil.
Yep.
And airbrushing.
Oh, wow.
They were my... The airbrushing was my love, but you never had the time to do it. So my stuff that I would just chuck out.
Isn't it funny? I would have thought airbrushing takes less time than oil painting.
Probably more the clean up and the setup.
Ah, would that be right, Doug?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Cool. Yep, changing the colours and setting it up, and it's a bit more technical stuff when you can just let it go with the oils and play with
learned
it.
Something new already. Look at that. So you used to do that. And what did you paint?
Very personal stuff.
Not the fetish stuff again.
No, God, no. I only did it for the business. I'm such a vanilla. And I never knew what a vanilla was until I started that job. And it was like, yeah, you're just a vanilla. I was like, oh, what?
Just a plain Jane.
We won't get to that.
So then you started coming to workshops, and we taught you some photography skills, mm-hmm. And you started up a little business doing what?
With pets.
Yes. God, I thought I had to whisper it to the microphone then. So what's the name of your pet photography business, though?
Rivid, RIVID.com.
So go have a look, everybody, because it's awesome.
Oh, no, I'm working on it at the moment.
Well, you've got until Sunday to finish working on it.
Once again, gardener. He's always working. He's going to do it one day, like a gardener, a painter. I'll get around to painting that eventually.
Exactly. I did that. I used to do everyone else's, and I'd never do my own. Yeah. That was and still is. So, but I am getting there.
Okay, you better make it Rivid on Facebook. Rivid Portraits on Facebook. Pet Portraits.
I've got that.
Look at that one. If you want to look at some of David's work, Rivid Pet Portraits.
Okay.
So you started photographing the animals?
Yes, yeah, because I wanted. That was one of the things of, you know, when you're at work and you're always, well, one day I'm going to have a dog. That was my, you know, well, when I can having that, I wanted to get the dog. So I ended up getting my first dog and taking photos of my girl. So I went to the Roddy Club. I was taking photos for any of them, and it ended up into a business from.
For those that need clarification, a Roddy Rottweiler.
Black and tan. But I do all sorts of, you know, that was just the start. Although I've already
done. The paintings that you do of your dogs are just phenomenal.
That's where mainly what I do most of the stuff now, most people want.
And are they painted in oil again?
No, it's all on digital.
Oh, okay.
I use that because of my brain injury, my depth perception
yep.
doesn't – I can't do that anymore. I hit the paint and I hit either smash it into the wall or I miss it at all, touching it. So – and lucky because I'm full into technology, I love my, you know, Cintiq, Wacom Cintiq.
Yep. That's the big 21-inch tablet, isn't it?
24-inch.
Okay. Nice.
If you're gonna be a bear, be a grizzly.
That's it.
Well, that's it. There is a 27 now, but with my vision, there's no point.
That's actually about twice David's size because he's not the biggest of fellas.
No,
you can't go too big.
So all that digital art, are you using Illustrator or Photoshop or what?
I use Corel Painter.
Oh, okay. Which would be very similar to Photoshop, I would imagine.
Yeah, look, I always use a part of Photoshop as well just to clean it up and finish it to the print.
So let's talk about the process, though, Dave, because before we get to that. You either photograph them yourself, the animals, first, or you can also have people send you, you know, you're in consultation with them, you'll get people around the world to take a certain style of photo.
Correct, because I can't just go interstate or overseas to take photos. And a lot of the stuff that people have lost their animal, so sending the photos, that's where we go from there.
Yeah, right.
So and then basically you're working two monitors, aren't you? So you've got the photo on one monitor and a blank canvas on the other?
Yes. Yeah, I actually had three monitors where I put the sketch on one monitor, the actual reference photo on the computer itself, and then onto the Cintiq, that's where I can actually paint onto.
Yeah, and that's, right.
And if anyone goes look at Dave's work, I mean, you'd swear it's a painting looking at the fine detail that's produced in, which astounds me. How you can pull that sort of detail out of a painting by hand is.
But that's come from the brain injury. Having the detail, I can't go back to just a bit more. I was probably a bit more. I love Monet.
I love money too. Monet.
But now it's much more realistic. Why
do you think that is? What's the reasoning behind that, do you think?
I don't. It's a part of the structure of the brain.
So
I just have to. It goes from my left to the right.
Yeah.
And that's just where it goes. I start on the head, on the ear, and then I go from the right to the other ear, and then the eyes.
Do you think, David, that there could be something with the because of the acquired brain injury and your need to process information slower, that slows you down and therefore you bring more detail to your artwork?
Absolutely. Yeah. Because and it does take extra time from it, but it's just a part of it now. So, and I actually enjoy it from
I've become a better artist from it. Yeah, you know, the quality of the stuff that you do is phenomenal.
Well, that's where, you know, when you take a painting of an animal, it's not just, you know, that, oh, yeah, it's a Rottweiler. It's that actually particular dog, I wanted to eat their dog. Yeah.
Or, it's got to show that personality and that, yeah.
Yeah. Like I did a Staffy about 2 weeks ago and, you know,
yeah,
they know exactly who that is. So
here's the amazing thing, though. When David often does studio shots of the dogs, and his photography is phenomenal anyway. I mean, most photographers, most artists would be happy with the end result of simply the photo that he's capturing.
Right.
But he takes it so much beyond that level to, it's really such an amazingly personal, tactile thing that he produces, isn't it, Dave?
Well, yes. And look, people love to get, if I do a session, they get, you know, photos and the painting. So, it's hard. It's sometimes hard to which one they want to pick.
Oh, which photo and
with
to a, pick to
with
have
a reference
painted.
Photo. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
So it's usually that's up to me. That's a reference, but then they like their other photos for as a photo itself. And then I will take – it's very different to shoot as a reference photo because it's more like technical stuff because, you know, you want to get where the eyes are and, you know, the nose will fit and stuff. But at the end of that, then you just play and do some of the actual, you know, photo images for them.
You know, I don't want to highlight the fact that, you know, everything in your life has to go a little bit slower now, but – I'm wondering, how do you deal with getting focus on a dog? Dogs are notorious for not sitting still. How do you cope with that?
I'm really good.
And he's not at all modest.
But I'm quite happy to talk to a dog rather than a person.
Right.
I can do that because that's a noise. It's a just... I'm not going to get the wrong word.
Yeah.
If I was like when we go to workshops, and I help Glenn with that, it's difficult to get the right words to help the model or the students and stuff like that. I know that I will never become a person photographer. I have done it, but it's not my thing. But I know that it doesn't make it quite right when they get the wrong words and things like that. Whereas I'm playing and rolling on the ground with a dog, I know how to have that. One of my clients actually said, you're like a bit of a Dr. Doodle-little when you go into camera. It's just you guys just talk to each other without making the actual words.
Very similar. He's Dr. Doolittle, I do little. Yeah, it's very, very similar. That's why we get along so well. You know? So once again, so David takes amazing photographs where most people would sort of be happy with that. So then he decides to turn it into amazing digital art.
Yeah.
Which is where most people would be happy with that, but not our Dave.
Yeah, but I wanted... Yeah, I had to go back to having some traditional stuff as well.
Yeah.
Because there's a part of me that I – well, once it's been printed, and obviously on a canvas or a new one is a new one, but that's not quite finished yet, with a painting, it's – you know, you can get beautiful canvases these days.
Yeah.
100%, you know, I'm getting one which is a linen, which is, you know, that's like my traditional linen that I used to paint. And it's like, finally, I'm getting that. But it's still a print.
We're talking about the texture on the canvas?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yes. Yeah. but it's still a print for me. People seem to like it exactly how it is, but it still doesn't finish the job for me. So I've been looking, and because this is, you know, years of, you know, going through this, I've got into water-soluble oil, and I mix media on top of that, and I've got the detail in, but then I can start putting some extra paint into the work, and then
so,
I can
so hang on,
go
you've
over
taken
the top of my lines.
The digital artwork, printed it onto linen, which is stretched over a frame, and then you're painting on top of that.
No, I put it on a board.
On a board rather than frame.
Because I'm really much that full. I'm back before the 80s. That's when the – anyway, we won't get into that.
Yeah,
I like
right.
board.
Yep.
Yeah. So, and you're willing to use the reusable, sustainable products too, aren't you? So the board you
totally.
Use. Totally. Yeah.
Yes. Everything that I do is 100% reclaimed or recycled products.
Yeah, right.
Because most people would be happy just having, like, you know, normal stuff, but yeah, Dave's got to take it, yeah.
I know. I've got that thing. I'm a real bloody perfectionist.
Yeah, but we love that about you, Dave. That's what makes you. That's why you're here, because what you're doing, I said, is beyond what most people are even thinking about doing with their photography and their printing and so on at the moment. So, what you're doing is awesome
that's
stuff.
That's the thing that I always wanted to – I'd never want to get to – the comfort zone. I have to keep pushing myself, and that's why I've even getting to that point, it's like, well, what's next?
Yeah.
I've always had that as so that's my life. It's
so what have you been doing recently with beeswax on this as well? To explain that process as well.
Oh yeah. That was going back to I found an information because the canvases is really nice, but I want something more. I found out some how they because I was looking at sorry I'm trying to because I was getting back into that traditional stuff and because it's reclaimed or recycled I found that you know right back in the ancients they used to use beeswax
like Da Vinci's days last, like that
yeah. Like 100 BC, I think that's
when
they the Egypt and the Greece.
Sorry, I'm completely lost here. You're doing what with beeswax?
Well, I was back, back to the fetish shop again. So you're doing a beeswax coating over the product?
So it's like a varnishing.
Oh, right.
But you actually put the texture on top of the paintings, and I use a bamboo board on it, a print, and then because that just works really well. I've tried so many that don't, and again because it's all e-commerce. So for that, there's no toxic, no anything like that. So
there's no chemicals.
And it lasts at all.
Yeah.
At all. It's all natural. That's probably better the word. It's a natural. And a lot of traditional painters have done it recently. It seemed to be a bit of a, you know, going back to that sort of stuff. So I thought, well, can we do it on the way I do it? So, yeah, I don't want to put glass on my print or my work, my artwork.
Behind glass, yeah.
Hate it personally, and that's just my own thing. So that's where I put that on, and that's where I've been do a few paintings at the Melbourne Zoo.
Yeah,
because we were talking to them, and it's all about you know recycled and stuff like that.
Reused, yeah. So basically, you take the photo or get the photo, you then hand paint digitally from the images. To an amazing quality, print it on this amazing quality linen, mount it on a board, put this incredible beeswax, put this great beeswax finish over, which gives it this incredible tactile feel. It really feels like a painting.
You forgot the layer of paint after it has been.
Oh, yeah. The layer of paint. Then And I tell you, it feels like an oil painting. It doesn't look like a printed canvas or a printed bit of paper.
Yeah, right.
It has this beautiful feel of an old master painting, some of these things. It's fabulous and amazing work.
Well, I can't wait to see one in the flesh, because I've only ever seen David's artworks as, you know, images on Facebook. I've never actually seen one in the flesh.
Yeah. So you've been doing some
exhibitions. And it is one of those things.
Oh, sorry, go on. Yeah.
Yeah, because it is one of those things that you can't see it online. It's just
no,
doesn't look,
I can imagine.
Look as what it is.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so exhibition is probably the way to go.
Yeah, nice. And you've done a few exhibitions, haven't you, David?
I have, yes. I've had a few over the years. And it's always good to, you know, where I've gone, you know, where I started doing that sort of stuff. Actually, that was my first exhibition. And again, when you've got that close to, you know, going, oh, one day I had to do it. It was like, no more. That's one thing that I learned, not to be a procrastinator, and just doing when you're that close, that it's sort of like, yeah, really important.
Get off your bum and do it.
I'm glad that I do. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Would it be more so not just get off your bum and do it, but more so take the chance? Yeah, be prepared,
totally.
be prepared to fail.
Lose?
Yeah, what's the worst they can say is no, you know?
I think that's one of the biggest things that I learned, because I probably was fear. I was a perfectionist, so I was more fear of what might happen. Now I want that to happen, and then I can do things. And if it works, fantastic. If it doesn't, go next.
That is awesome.
There's nothing to lose. There's nothing that you can actually... There is nothing that you can actually have a bad thing about it. Like, it might be at the time.
I guess the only thing that you stand to lose is a little bit of ego. You know, your ego might take a bit of a hammering if someone, you know, knocks the quality of your work or declines to buy your product or something like that. But, you know, in the grand scheme of things, why do we get so hung up on that?
Really
shouldn't hold us back.
And the other thing I get from David as well is, and this goes out to people who are struggling with their own art in their photography, either they keep hitting walls as far as so-called, you know, losing their creative feel, or, you know, not being inspired. Yeah, not being inspired.
Yep.
Get it and play and try different stuff. Keep trying new things. Doesn't matter if it doesn't work. Doesn't matter if it fails. It's, you know, David's constantly trying to find a new way of expressing himself. Yeah. And not all of it works. I've seen some of the stuff. It sucks. but when he gets it right, it's phenomenal. And you know what? As far as I know, there's no one else doing what David does. That's because he's just kept on pushing and trying and trying.
Yeah.
So if you're out there and you're going, oh, you know, maybe I'll try something else. This photography thing's not working out. No. Yeah. This is your chance to actually go out there and really push beyond that and find another way of approaching the same thing and getting a better result. If that doesn't work, try another one. If that doesn't work, try another one. Yeah. Would you say it's worth it, Dave?
Absolutely. As I said, I actually can say my life became better from my brain injury.
Yeah, right.
And it took me a while to realize that or go through that because I had, you know, it wasn't an easy time.
No.
And I got to the point where I could even say, yep, well, that's just where it is. And that's his life and it's my life. That's okay. I don't care. But I actually can push myself that I actually thinks that my life is better from it.
Yeah.
And it has. So,
well, you met me.
Well, that's it.
You know? Yeah, mate.
And I still kept going. How's
that? Oh, best comeback all year.
Nice.
So awesome. So,
that's probably my – that's it.
So
I better do that. I've got to go.
Dave,
George, I'm out of here.
Yeah, Dave's a big Seinfeld fan. So, you know, I choose not to run. You know, I've said my funny line. I'm out of here now. So what are you going to do next year, Dave? He did go. Look at that.
Did he really?
He's gone. He's not there anymore.
Oh, okay. Yes, too. Good on him.
What a way to leave. Oh,
what a legend.
What a star.
That's classic.
I taught him everything he knows. No.
funny.
What an amazing story.
He's a great guy. He's just, yeah, he's inspiring. I mean, you look at the way he's saying today, he's went out and bought this massive angle saw or thing. I don't know, I'm not much of a handyman. Right. But he's now cutting his own boards.
Oh, are you serious?
Massive drills and big bandsaw things. Wow. I mean, we're talking about a guy who can't feel the right side of his body and can't see anything at the right side of his eyes.
Wow.
Because that part of his brain's missing. And he's there with his big industrial saw. Chopping his own boards. He's been working with printing on aluminium offcuts and all this.
Wow.
All this, he's always experimenting. He's always trying new stuff. It's an inspiration. It really is.
Absolutely.
Yeah? And I thought what a lovely way to finish the year for us is to talk to someone who, you know, we're going to the end of the year, think about, you know, yeah, we think we've got a tough, oh, my photo didn't come out, you know. And that's the reason not to keep pushing, or oh, I haven't felt like taking photos for 6 months. Maybe I'll go take up golf, you know, whatever.
Yeah,
push through that. Yeah, shoot through the shit, as David Duchemin would say. Just keep finding a way to improve. Yeah. Oh, I think he's coming back. Are you back, Dave?
I'm back.
That was awesome. We've done the great. This is it. I'm leaving, and yet you left.
We were just going. What a legend! He actually did go. Oh, what happened? Did you lose the call?
Yeah, it just dropped out.
Oh, that's funny. Well, so, perfect timing.
So, yeah. Absolutely. I was going to ask you, what are you going to do? What sort of plans for 2016 with your art? Is there some other new product, some other new process that you're thinking of?
Yes, I have aluminium composite panels and resin.
Resin,
yeah.
Cool.
I've been doing a little bit of testing, and be during the Christmas break, and I think by next year we'll have some pretty cool products.
So, is the resin used as a pigment or as a sealer over the top?
A bit of both, I think. I've got to try both.
Okay.
I'll probably try the resin by itself for prints, but then they'll do paintings on top, and it might not work. So, but I do want something glossier, and because with the beeswax, it's much more matte and So just to have something. It's sort of like that, very a bit more rustic and. Whereas the other one will be a much more modern style, I guess. So gives a bit of option for people.
Yeah, right. Wow.
And I've got metallic. Really cool stuff. I've been playing with that, and it's like, wow. I actually went and did a workshop, and it was like amazing. So,
Wow.
Always onwards and upwards.
Always going.
I love that about you, David. There's always looking for new ways to improve. It's fabulous. Yeah.
Well, so I hate to be able to just get stuck.
Yeah. Well, if you have a dog that's the love of your life and you want to immortalise it in the best possible way, you know, check out David's stuff. You've got like a year's waiting list, and he's really expensive, but he's worth every penny. Yeah. Increase, double your prices, Dave. I pumped you up. Double your prices. That's just between you and me, though, Dave. No one else needs to know about that.
Yeah, and Glenn will only take a 75% cut.
That's right. awesome. So I'm taking Dave out tomorrow night for the inaugural Creative Photo Workshop staff party.
Excellent.
Meeting him. I haven't told him where he's going yet, so it's a surprise.
Right.
It's got to be Macca's, isn't it?
It's going to be Macca's.
KFC drive-through.
Only if you're paying, dude. I'm not springing that much for you. that's a bit of a surprise for him. So that's going to be kind of, we'll do lots of selfies and take the team group shot and all that kind of stuff, you know, and have a bit of a laugh. And then this coming Sunday is a very important day. So the day the podcast comes out, very important day, is my birthday.
Right.
So I have my annual birthday sale on my website.
Right.
So if anyone's looking for bit of a bargain for next year.
Yeah,
jump aboard and come and see the one day only sale.
Right, limited prices, so. You really should have promoted this last episode.
No. I don't want-
No, because we don't want...
Well, see, it doesn't really go just 24 hours. It goes like, at least 38.
Or 40. Right.
Because, you've got like the Americas and stuff.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
they're behind.
Fair enough.
And then you've got Adelaide. Another year behind, so,
Right.
So do we have anything else for this podcast for the week?
Well, there's a couple of real quick things.
Go on then, quickly.
Adam posted a couple of links on the Facebook page, which were not from Petapixel.
Something other than Petapixel. Yeah. Oh, good.
Yeah. One was from Dan Carr Photography. And he put the headline alongside this, Glyn has a copycat, because this guy has drawn red lines all over the image to show, leading lines and points of interest and all that.
Hey, that's not fair. I stole that from somebody pure and proper. Now someone's stealing it from me.
It's just not on.
You just can't steal anything these days without someone stealing it off you.
That's exactly right. And the other one that Adam sent us was about Enlight Photo shutting down.
Yes, they are. My fabulous friends from the stuff that they sold. That was one of my sponsors.
Oh, were they?
Yeah, I can't remember what it was.
It was the Orbis Ring Flash.
That's the one, Orbis Ring Flash. I use it a lot.
Do you?
No.
Once?
Used it a couple of times. So, the Orbis Ring Flash, they also did the cold shoe. They had an awesome cold shoe for mounting on top of a light stand.
Oh, okay.
It had a great locking mechanism.
Yeah, right.
So.
And the only other thing that I had on the list was a video that Carl Hemming sent us on YouTube where they attached like a GoPro camera to the top of on top of an eagle's neck.
Yeah.
And had this eagle fly off the top of the Burj Khalifa in Abu Dhabi.
Yeah, I saw that a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty amazing.
Poor eagle.
That was it. That's it.
The poor eagle. People complain about whacking fishing cormorants in China to put the wings out.
Yeah.
But no one's got a problem strapping a camera to one of their backs. I don't get it. Are you still with us, Dave?
I am.
Oh, good. Oh.
I thought he'd gone again.
So we're wrapping up.
Yep.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, thank you for sharing your story, David.
It's been a delight and something I've wanted to do for a couple of years is have you aboard. But as Bruce says, you've finally got your talking right, so it's worthwhile doing.
Well, we'll see. You can edit, can't you?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Crazy, because Bruce is putting Christmas carols all the way through this, aren't you, Bruce?
Yeah, right. All right. Well, on behalf of Glyn and myself, I'd like to thank all of the listeners for all of your support over the year, particularly...
And Bruce's bottle of red.
And for my bottle of red, yes. Thank you very much. We're going to take about a month break because you've got Christmas, New Year, and then I'm away for a week and a half in the second and third weeks of January. So... probably somewhere around the 20th of January, we'll be back on deck. So everybody have a very Merry Christmas. David,
those who celebrate Christmas.
Yeah, for those who celebrate Christmas.
Happy Kwanzaa to those Kwanzaites. Hanukkah, happy Hanukkah to our friends who celebrate said things. And those who have only gifts in mind and no particular religious persuasion, we hope you get the gifts you want.
Yes.
And for those who bar humbug the whole thing.
All right, Glyn, will you have a good Christmas and a happy new year?
Dave, I'll see you tomorrow night.
We will.
Yeah. All right, guys. We'll talk to you in the new year.
See ya.
Thanks, Bruce.
Bye.
Shutters Inc., another audio2you.com quality podcast. For previous episodes, check out shuttersincpodcast.com or search the iTunes Music Store. For questions, comments, and feedback, email thevoice@shuttersincpodcast.com.